Okay, so we were in the middle of understanding smicha by karbanos in general. So we started last week by outlining possibility one, that smicha is a fundamentally a mitzvah that it devolves on the owner of the karban, really the mitkaper, the person who's being atoned for, is getting whatever ritzui, whatever ingratiation with God he's getting through the karban. And that possibility, that it's fundamentally about the connection between the owner and the karban, rather than an integral part of the bringing of the karban, was emphasized by the fact that we only require smicha for karbanos yachid, which have identifiable owners, and not for karbanos tzibur, and the exceptions to both of those rules highlighted this. So by tzibur, the parhelim davar shel tzibur, where there's a separate collection. So you're not talking the collective klal Yisrael. You're not just taking, you know, the tax money and paying for communal needs, but you're actually taking a new collection because, yes, it's for klal Yisrael, but it's for the collection of individuals. So there you do have smicha, as well as by Sira Mishtaleach, where the Kohen Gadol is himself getting kapara and is representing Klal Yisrael is getting kapara. So there again, you have smicha. And on the individual level, Bechor and Maser and Pesach, which are more mere obligations rather than karbanot ritzui, as Rashi phrases them, do not need smicha. And then we saw the middle categories. Right, the ones where you clearly do need are normal or voluntary olos. And our chatas and the like, the ones that are a bit outliers, as we saw, were asham, because asham, while it is brought for a sin, is brought when you're not sure you actually violated, so it's more about protecting the person than for the sin. As well as the case in our Gemara, which was the olat riya, or again, it's somewhere in between where the Gemara says you need smicha, but only from a hekesh to other karbanot. So Rav Aaron argued that's sort of a middle category where it doesn't really fit the logic, but it sort of gets in through the back door. So that was possibility one. Possibility two is that smicha, in fact, integrates into the maase havas hakarban, right? The bringing of the karban, there are the normal parts of the hakrava, right? There's the shechita. And then there's the hava, there's the zrika, right? There's the avodos hakarban, and perhaps smicha is actually part of that calculus. So here we were up to number 9.
Were we up to number 9?
Oh, we already did 9. No, 9, I think, is still on the first one, which was, right, 9 is still on the Bailim, so I don't know if we actually read it, which was Chomer b'smicha mi b'tnufa, and that smicha has a Chomer over tnufa, of the waving of karban, b'tnufa mi b'smicha, she'echad meinef l'kol chavir, me'echad somech l'kol chavir, that hanafa can be done one on behalf of everybody, but not smicha, right? If you have multiple people to smicha, you need each one of them to be involved. Okay. Number 10 already begins the next one, which is Hakol Somchen Chutz Mecheir Shot Vekata. So we say everyone can do smicha except for a deaf mute, someone's mentally incapacitated, or a minor, Suma V'Nachri V'Eved V'Ashleach V'Isha, and a blind person, a non-Jew, and a slave, and a messenger, and a woman, Usmicha Shiyare Mitzvah. And it's defined as the leftovers of a mitzvah, whatever that means exactly. Al harosh b'shtei adayim. What you do is you put two hands on the head of the animal. V'makom shesomchen shochten. And where do you do it? You do it where you're going to do the shechita. V'tekev l'smicha shechita. And immediately prior to the shechita, you have to do the smicha. So Rav Aaron points out that the simple understanding of this.
Why is Ishup Pater?
What? We'll come to the main Gemara about that, which is the Gemara in Chagiga in 17. But the simple understanding of this, Rav Aaron points out, is it pushes in the other direction, right? If it was simply about connecting the owner to the karban, so there shouldn't be, or doesn't necessarily need to be, as much emphasis on when you do it, right, immediately before the shechita, and that's to do in the same place as the shechita, right? Once you attempt not just to connect it to the owner, but con- connected to the shechita, which is obviously part of the process of the karban. So then you already start to hear hints that maybe it's not just a way of connecting the owner to the karban, but in fact is integrated in to the into the mas akrava itself. In 11, the Gemara says, "V'makom shesomchen shochden." Right on that line, that where you're going to do the shechita, so that's where you do the smicha. And then we say, tekef l'smicha shechita, and we say you have to do it immediately. So the Gemara says, my kamar, what does that mean? Hachi kamar, bimakom shesomchen shochtin, she tekef l'smicha shechita. So the Gemara says, why is it? Right, you from the Mishnah, it sounds like these are two separate halachos. But the Gemara ends up connecting them and says, no. The reason that you have to do shechita where you do the smicha, no, it's the other way around. You do smicha where you do shechita, is because the shechita must be immediately after the smicha. Which, again, Ravaran notes, pushes in that direction again. Because it's not just there's two separate halachas. It happens to be, right, you need to do it where you're doing the shechita, and it needs to be immediate. Right? Everything is defined in the context of how close is the smicha going to be done to the shechita. Right? You do it in the place which will enable you to connect these two processes of the hakrava. Again, that doesn't necessarily mean it's not about the bialim, but again, the emphasis that we have to orchestrate in such a way that the shechita and the smicha are going to be together in time and place seems to connect it more to the masa akrava than it does to the bialim.
If that's the case, then forget about Yonta for a second. We're just talking about during the week with smicha, doing the smicha on the korban. If he forgets to do the smicha and they do the shechita, are you saying that it's not a valid korban?
So that wouldn't necessarily follow, right? You could have something which is part of the shechita, which is not makif, which is part of the hakrava, which is not makif, which we have a lot of things like that.
Right. So within what you're saying, okay, he's saying we would say that it needs smicha. Smicha would indicate the kapara or your attachment to it, but it's not ma'akev.
Correct. I mean, you could say it's not ma'akev within either, right? I mean, you could say that it's, you could say it is ma'akev within either, right? You could say that you need to, obviously it's easier to say it's ma'akev within the side that it's part of the masa akrav, and easier to say it's not if it's about the bialim, but it's not necessarily the case, right? There are times when you sever the connection between the owner and the karban so severely that the karban is not kosher. So, for example, if you're in the process of bringing a chatas and the owner dies, so, right, you can't continue the process because ein kapara lacharmisa. And since a chatas is clearly about kapara, if the person who is going to be forgiven and atoned for dies, so even if everything else could be done perfectly, right, a radical break between the owner and the karban is going to invalidate it.
But not so that radical. What is the actual halacha if you didn't do the smicha? Is the korban?
So I think it's not ma'akev. I'm pretty sure it's not I'm pretty sure it is not ma'akev.
The one that said the point of the shama you did without smicha.
Right. I mean.
Yeah, that was
there. Right, which how we paskin. I mean, it's clear that in the Gemara that's a possibility. I think that's all we also how we paskin. I'm 90% sure that's the case.
The rest of the Gemara is going to be defining why there's differentiation between a Sibor versus this, or we're just going to say there's a custom and, you know, which ones have smicha, which one don't have smicha.
These may overlap, right, to some extent, right? But yeah, meaning there's always the possibility that it's exerts a kasuv, but presumably there's some overlap between them, right? But right now, right, we'll isolate them as if they're separate possibilities, okay. Because okay. to get to what might be going on in our Gemara.
Okay,
in 12, so this is in Megillah, the Mishnah says, Kol hayom kasher l'smicha l'shchita, and many other things as well. And the Gemara says, l'smicha l'shchita, Dichsiv v'samach v'shachat uksiv ba b'shchita b'yom zivchachem. So you see here again, how do we know that everything has to be done during the day? So because it says v'samach v'shachat. Now, as there are notes, in theory, you could have said v'samach v'shachat. So smicha and shchita have to be done immediately following each other, but that doesn't mean that smicha needs to be done during the day. Right? Because you could do smicha a minute before, right, daybreak. And if you do smicha a minute before daybreak, it'll be tekef l'shchita, it'll be immediately preceding shchita, and it won't be during the day. So if the Gemara is going to derive from v'samach v'shachat uksiv ba b'shchita b'yom zivchachem, that implies it's not just that it has to be immediate. Right? Because it's not just saying it has to be right before. It could have been right before daybreak. The fact that it needs to be in the halachic time of shchita further emphasizes that this is not just right, a technicality. They need to be close, but that in fact it's part of the shchita process. And therefore, whatever time is halachically good for the shchita, it will be halachically good for the smicha. And the last Gemara he points to that seems to indicate this direction is number 13, which is Ma Bein Bamas Yachid Labamas Tzibur. The Gemara in Zavachim asks, what is the difference between a private karban, a private bama, right? A private personal mizbeach and a public personal, a private public, whatever, a communal but private. Meaning non-Beis HaMikdash oriented, or not Mishkan-oriented Mizbeach. What?
A bama.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. How do you translate a bama? So the Gemara gives a few examples. Smicha, u'shchitas tzafa. Right? Smicha, and the fact that you obviously have to shecht it in the north. Because, you know, that makes sense in the Beis HaMikdash, where there's a place which is specifically north. So the Gemara says, Smicha dechziv lifnei Hashem v'samach. So here again, you look at the drashos, the Gemara says, smicha, because it needs to be done before God. Shchita, because it needs to be done before God. And then, matno saviv, dichsiv, zarak al mizbeach saviv. Tenufa, dichsiv, enifa, kohen, lefnei Hashem. Hagasha, dichsiv, gisha al mizbeach. Right? It's here, smicha is included, has almost an identical drasha to shchita, and is included a list of things that are clearly part of the masa akrava, right? All of them need to, right, have different applications in a bamas yach and a bamas tibur, because the process of bringing the karban is different. So, right, so again, there are these second series of indications, really, that smicha is not just an obligation on the owner or on the mitkaper, but in fact, it is part of the masa akrava, just like shchita, just like tnufa, just like hagasha, and the like. The third possibility, right, and we'll just do the third possibility, and then we'll plug it all back into our Gemara, and we'll get back to our Gemara, is what the Gemara seems to imply in 14. So the Gemara in 14 has the following statement. Hayoresh somech. If you inherit a karban from your parents, so you can do smicha. So Tani Rav Chananya kamei de Rafa. Yoresh eino somech. Rav Chananya says it's not true. An heir cannot do smicha, and Yoresh eino meimir. Yoresh cannot affect tumura, right? He can't choose to switch the karban, which based on Xerza Kaza would make both of them kodesh. So the Gemara says, "V'ha nantana yorosomech." Didn't we just say that an heir can in fact do smicha? Umevi es nechasav, and he can even bring the libations umeimar, and he can do tmura. He can effectuate tmura. So Amar lei ifcha. So he said, "Switch it." Amar lei. Lo, don't switch it. Masnisen mani. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehudi. Ditanya yorish somech yorish meimar. Rabbi Yehuda Amar yorish eino somech yorish eino meimar. It's a machlokas tanoim. The Tanakama in this Brisa says that he can, and the Rabbi Yehuda says he can't. So the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda think that an heir cannot do smicha? Karban no, velo karban aviv, is because it says it's his karban and not his father's karban. And then it says, v'yalif tchilas hekdish misov hekdish, and he learns the beginning of hekdish from the end of hekdish. Ma sov hekdish yoresh eino somech, Aftchilas hektish yoresh eino somech. Eino meimir, rather. And the Gemara will explain what that means in a minute. Rabbanon hamer yamir, the rabbos de yoresh, the rabbanon have exeris hakasuf. The yalif sof hektish mitchilas hektish, matchilas hektish yoresh meimir, afsof hektish yoresh somech. And the Gemara, right, says that we derive it from the actual act of hakdasha, right? And, we call hakdasha tchilas hekdesh, right? When you actually make it kadosh. So that's tchilas hekdesh, that's making it kadosh. And here the Yorish isn't doing it, right? His father had done it. And then we call smicha sof hekdesh. So Rav Aaron notes that the simple read of the Gemara is that Bein L'Rehuda, Bein L'Rabbanan, there's a third possibility here, which is that it's not really about connecting the owner to the Karban. It's not even part of the process. It's part of sanctifying it. In some weird way, the smicha is the end of the process of actually making it holy, right? What that means, right? Not totally clear, right? How that's true, right? It seems to be fully kodesh. You know, we could suggest different ways. Maybe it's because it's, you know, because the smicha connects it to the owner, and part of the kedusha of a carbon comes from the fact that it has a designated purpose. So until you actually give it that definition that it is my carbon to forgive, you know, to atone for my sins, you haven't fully given it its definition and its designation. So the holiness isn't fully there. Again, these three possibilities will overlap somewhat, but this is the sort of third perspective that the Gemara gives. Now, if we take this back to our Gemara, though, so in our Gemara, we have not the right Masechta, but okay. So we had, right, two possibilities of how to understand the Machlokes, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, in general. One was, do Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai think you need smicha at all? First possibility is the other way around, right? They don't argue about whether you need smicha. They argue about whether you need tekef l'smicha shchita,
right?
Whether you need it to be immediately prior. Beis Shammai says you don't. Beis Hillel says you do. The second possibility is no. They actually argue about whether you need smicha at all. But now if we plug this back in. So let's take the first possibility. Why would you say that everyone agrees you need smicha, but they argue about whether you need the smicha to be immediately prior to the shechita? So once you have these different emphases in the Gemara, one can suggest that if you think that the role of smicha is parallel to, let's say, shechita, it's part of the masa akrava, so then if you need smicha, then it must be tekef l'smicha shechita. There's no such thing, right? You don't do shechita on Monday and zrika on Wednesday, right? Once you do shechita, so then move the process along, right? You do shechita, and then you continue with all the avodos, and you eventually get to zrika, and that's it. It takes, how long does it take from beginning to end? A few minutes, zeu, right? You don't say, I'm going to do one in Erev Yontif, and I'm going to do the second thing in Yontif. If you think, though, that smicha is not a part of the hakravas hakarban, it's a way of connecting the owner to the karban, so maybe the best time to do that is tekev l'smicha shechita. But if you can't, for whatever reason, such as it's Yontif, right, and you can't do the smicha on Yontif because it's mishtamish b'bal chai, so, okay, so you do it in Erev Yontif. And it won't be the best connection, but in the end of the day, if it's fundamentally about creating the relationship between the owner and the karban, so if it's not done immediately prior, so it's not done immediately prior. It's not the end of the world. And the simplest way, then, of understanding the machlokas b'zil meshama is along these lines. To what extent is smicha really part of the hakrava itself? In which case, if you need smicha, then smicha must be immediate. And if, as opposed to saying, no, you need shechita, but smicha, but it doesn't need to be immediate. The third possibility, that it's the sov hektish. So I don't know where you would put that, right? I assume there you could also divide it, right? If it's sof hektish, so hektish, of all things, is done in advance, right? Hektish is obviously done in advance. It doesn't have to be done then. And if it's simply, smicha is just a way of finishing that designation and finishing giving it its status as karban, so, okay, maybe you want to do it ideally, right, before you bring the karban, but if you do it a day before, right, lo malav v'lo morid. If you think the machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai is not tekef l'smicha shechita, is whether you need smicha at all, so then we have to understand on a different level, right? Meaning, if you think that smicha is about being part of the avoda, so then they just argue about whether it is part of the avoda or not, right? Whether it's an essential part of the avoda or not. Beis Hillel thinks it is, and Beis Shammai think it's not.
Right? Tell me that it's essential part of anything, because you can just forgo it if you want.
Exactly, right? I mean, exactly, it's not part of anything. If you think it's about the bialim, so we'll say, okay. So Beis Hillel thinks you need it, right? And once you're arguing the level of, do you need it or not, so then whatever you think smicha is, one of them thinks it's important, one of them thinks it's not, right? One of them thinks that we've already had full hektish, smicha, whatever, so forgo it. you don't want to connect with the owner of the carbon, fine. He's already connected. He was makdish, it's fine. But at least the first position that everyone agrees you need smicha, but they argue about whether that smicha needs to be immediately prior to the bringing of the carbon, seems to be best understood in light of these different possibilities, right? The more you think it's either hektish or simply about connecting the owner to the karban, the more likely you can say you need it, but it needs to be but it can be separate in time from the hakravas hakarban. If you think that it's not the case, that it's actually part of the ma'aseh hakrava, so then if you need smicha, then it has to be done, in fact, with the hakravas hakarban.
Okay. You're saying the first point, the first approach, the shamay holds that?
He holds not tikkul smicha shita, right? And therefore, he doesn't let you do smicha on yandif. Okay. So he would right, and basically, right, Beis Hillel thinks tikkul smicha shita.
So he would hold for sure that it's part of the shita.
Correct, and therefore, if you're allowed to bring the karban on yandif, right, then to translate it, right, and therefore, if you bring, you're allowed to bring the karban, right. So then, if we push it farther, so then what Beis Hillel would be saying is, if it's part of the hakravas karban, and the karban is mucher to bring. So mimela, you're allowed to do the smicha, just like I'm allowed to do the shechita, just I'm allowed to do the zrika, so I'm allowed to do the smicha. If you think it's a chovas bailim, so then no, right? It's not, right?
Shammai holds it just to make a connection.
So then
you can do it later.
Then I can do it before, because it's not integrally part of the karban, so just because I can bring the karban on yantiv doesn't mean I can do the smicha on yantiv.
Or you could hold it as part of hektish, which you
have. Or as part of hektish, would come out the same way, right? That hektish, obviously, you can do in advance.
I don't understand how you can read that Beit Shammai is holding that you don't need smicha. I mean, if we're assuming our Mishnah is talking about yantiv, which I believe it is, then he's saying the vin shlamim is something like, which means on yantiv you don't, which would mean that other times you would.
But you don't have to. I mean, what it sounds like is you don't have to, right? Now, we're about to challenge what I just said. But okay. But let's, right, but just sort of the overview, right, once we've had the three positives of smicha, you just look at the machlokas, and that seems to be the smoothest way, I would say, of understanding it. Okay. The problem is, as Howie notes, is all of this assumes a very broad reading of our Gemara, right? Is that when the Gemara says, Beis Shammai holds, you don't need smicha at all, they mean you don't need smicha at all. The problem is that l'kulei alma, the context of this Mishnah, both here and the Chagiga, is about yantif. Right? So, which makes us come back to our Gemara and try to qualify everything. So let's look at Rashi. Right? Because Rashi was bothered by exactly what Howie just said. Okay? So you look at Rashi Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai, he, the Omer Masnizim Bivin Shlom Shal Yom Tushin Chovavin Tzom Chalalein. The time of my, so why is it that Beis Shammai holds you're allowed to bring the carbon with not smicha? Mishum dismicha bivayikra ksiv Beis Shammai Nedava. Because smicha is in said in Vayikra by Shammai Nedava, right? Ve'im zevach shlamim karbano v'samach yedav v'gomer v'kasavri lo gamrin chova min Nedava. And he thinks that, remember, this isn't smicha in general. This is smicha on olas re'iyah, right? Smicha in general is a pasuk, right? By Shammai Nedava. Meaning, the question here is, do you need smicha by olas re'iyah? So he says, "V'kasavri lo gamrin chova min Nedava." And he must learn that you don't derive obligatory karbanos from voluntary ones. Because we've said that voluntary karbanos are more common. Whenever you want to bring it, so donate and bring. Tomer b'chova she'en election is chayiv. Hilkach said, therefore, lo dachya smicha didhu yom tov. And therefore, its smicha does not push aside yom tov. Hilkach, olas chova nami. Therefore, an obligatory ola as well. Ilav depart bakra kamishpat lavi by smicha. The chova min dava logam rinan. So if it weren't for the pasuk, olas chova. So then you wouldn't need a smicha by olas nidava. Sorry, olas chova as well. Now Rashi throws in that line that what does Beis Shammai mean when he says you don't need smicha? You don't need smicha on yontif. Right? So Rabbi Kveger says, what are you talking about? Right? If you look at Gilyon HaShas here, right? It's a bit small, but he comments on Rashi, and he says, right, Rashi says, Dol dach yasmicha didhu, what? In Gilyon HaShas on the page, yeah. Right? It's a tiny little print, but okay.
Which Gilyon HaShas? It's so hard to see.
It's the second one.
Second one?
Yeah. So the kasha lefimad de bekaimin and ata v'shamay les leismicha klal v'shal mechova. So I don't get what you're talking about, right? Rashi implies that the line ain sarach smicha means you don't need smicha if you bring a shal mechova on yantif. Why? The words ain smicha, right, mean ain smicha, right? Mm-hmm. But Rashi is clearly responding to Howie's point and saying, no, the context of our Mishnah is yantif. So Rashi says it's about yantif. Rabbi Kivaker says, no, I don't get it, right? It says it's about shal mechova gam bechol asur. And he said, and once you say you don't have to do it, then don't tell me that you don't have to do smicha. And therefore, what does Rashi seem to be saying? You don't need to do smicha on karban shal mechova. So on yantif, where it would be a problem because of mishtamesh bebal chai, because you're using the animals, so then don't do it. But it's during the week, so you don't need it, but you should do it anyways. Right, that seems to be what Rashi's saying. Rabbi Kivaker says, what are you talking about? Memanavshach. If you need smicha, it's part of bringing a karban. And if you don't need smicha is b'kol chocho. You're leaning on the animal. That's called mi'ila. Right? That is called using a karban for no purpose. And he says, dehevi avoda b'kodshim. Dehagam b'yom tov l'mikra mishtamish b'al chai rak. The whole problem that's created in our Gemara, the whole reason you would say that you don't want smicha on yontif specifically is because you're leaning on the animal, and therefore it's called mishtamish b'bal chai, it's called using an animal, and you're not allowed to use animals on yontif. But if you're leaning b'kol kocho, you're leaning with your whole strength, then doing it during the week, if smicha is not an essential part of bringing a shal mechova, so then, I just don't get it, right? It should be avoda bekachem, it should be usher during the week, as it is on yantif. So we have Rabbi Eger takes it the way I was reading it, right? Which is the expansive way. It says that our Gemara is in fact telling you that Beishamai holds you don't need smicha, Beishamai chova. That's it. And Rashi is saying, no, you do, or you should, have smicha. And the context of our Mishnah is in fact the context of the Halacha. This is not just some, right, it happens to be they were talking about Yantif. No, the Halacha is about Yantif. But Rabbi Kivi Eger's question is, okay, but how? Right? How can it be that Rashi is presenting his position as if it's only about Yantif? Conceptually, right, textually, it makes a lot of sense to say what Howie is saying, that it's only about Yantif. Because the context of our Mishnah was, Beishamai said, don't just mechan Yantif. Wonderful, misvara, right, logically, if there's a limitation to doing smicha on yantif, then there should be a limitation to doing smicha during the week. On yantif, because of mishtamish b'bal chai, and on yantif, and not on yantif, because of avoda b'karbanos. Because if you don't need to do smicha, so then you're leaning on it and using it as your shtender for no reason.
But it doesn't necessarily flow. In other words, if you say that smicha is a separate mitzvah, and it's not part of ochel nefesh, and Beit Shammai says strictly on Shlamim where you eat it and not on Olot. So he's being consistent where basically the Smicha, if you wanted to, you should have done an Erev Yontif. If not, you can't.
No, but that's within the Shita of Techa L'Smicha. No, but that's within the Shita of Techa L'Smicha Shrita. Right? This is within the position that there's no need for Smicha at all. Right?
It's Smicha should be Techa to the Shrita.
No, that's the other possibility. That's the other possibility. Right? This is within the possibility that he doesn't need smicha at all. Right? Meaning, the position that's taken as smicha shchita is the other possibility in the Gemara. Right. But this is within the possibility you don't need smicha at all, where it's not about immediacy, it's about whether you need it all.
Right, so I'm just saying, I still have difficulty reading it as Beit Shammai saying you don't need smicha, and it appears that he's holding by the concept that's a separate mitzvah.
So that's, I think, where we're going to have to go with it, though, right? Meaning, what we have now is we have two right intuitions here. We have the textual intuition, which is to say that Beit Shammai is not saying something as radical as it sounds like he's saying, which is that smicha is an irrelevancy in shal mechova. But we have the logical problem of Rabbi Kivi Eger, which is, if you don't need smicha, then how can you do smicha? Right? It's one or the other. Either you need smicha or you can't have smicha. There shouldn't be no such thing in the middle as rishus. Right? Because if it's only rishus, if you don't have to do it, then how are, for a voluntary act, how are you, right? How are you leaning on the karban? Right? That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's question. So we have these two intuitions, and what we need to figure out is how could we, because Rabbi Akiva Eiger has logic behind him, but he doesn't have the text behind him. Right? So the question is, how do we deal with Rashi? Right? Which, as Howie notes, seems to be, in fact, the position of the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah only presents this position of Veshamai in the context of Yantif. Okay. So that's what we're going to try to justify now. So if you look at 16. So the first Shittim Gobetzes summarizes from Tosos. And he says, V'amru v'tosos, d'lav dafka b'yomtov. Right? It's not just the position of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it's in fact Tosos. I didn't give you Tosos because it doesn't much more complicated, but Shimon Gwetzet boils it down to one line. Tosfos agrees with Rikiv Eger. The lav dafka biyomtov, dafiba chol nami l'beshamai ein somchen. Right, so Rashi holds that the machlokas b'shel b'shamai is smicha on yontif. Tosfos, Rikiv Eger, thinks the machlokas is smicha at all. V'had depligi biyomtov, so why do they argue on yontif? Now solving Howie's textual problem. This is not in Tosfos. Right? So according, so what's the answer? How could you defend Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Tosos? Our Mishnah is talking about Yantif. It's true. The reason that it's talking about Yantif is not to teach you anything about Beis Shammai. It's to teach you about Beis Hillel, that not only does Beis Hillel think you're allowed to do smicha in general, that you need smicha in general, but he says when you do that smicha, you could even do it on Yantif. Right? So we can parry the textual problem by saying, yes, the context of our Mishnah is Yantif, but the reason our Mishnah brings up smicha on Yantif is not because Beis Shammai thinks you need smicha during the week and you don't on Yantif. It's because Beis Hillel thinks that not only do you need smicha during the week, but you can even do smicha on Yantif. Beis Shammai just happens to be dragged along into our Mishnah because the Mishnah is trying to teach us the extreme nature of Beis Hillel's position. So the textual defense of Tosos and Rikiv Eiger is to say, really, you're right. The machlokes b'shil b'shamai has nothing to do with Yantif. The reason we bring it up in the context of Yantif is to tell you that don't think Beis Hillel would tell you on Yantif it's different, he wouldn't. Okay? So possibility one, which is Tosos and Rikiv Eiger, is that, in fact, there exists this machlokes b'shil b'shamai, whether Shalmei Chova needs smicha at all. Beis Hillel says yes, Beis Shammai says no. The reason it comes up in our Mishnah is a technicality to teach you that Beis Hillel has no limitation on Yantif. So, but once you've learned that, the fact is that yes, this has nothing to do with Yantif. Yantif is a side point to this whole discussion, and therefore you just have to ignore the context of our Mishnah. Right? Or it's teaching a side point that Beis Hillel doesn't think that there's a limitation on Yantif. So that's to defend Tosfos textually. Right? Conceptually, Tosfos is pretty smooth. Right, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger is smooth. It's just that textually it's a problem, and this is the defense. Okay, but how do we defend Rashi? I mean, Rashi works very well textually. Namely, our Mishnah is talking about Yantif, and therefore it makes sense to say that when we say that Hillel and Beis Shammai are arguing whether or not you need smicha, all they mean is do you need smicha on Yantif. But then the question is glaring you in the face, which is very good, but what does that even mean? Right? How could it be, as Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, how could it be that smicha is not necessary, and yet during the week it's going to be allowed? Because the rule should be, anything that's not necessary is forbidden. Because any time you can't use the karban, so you're not allowed to use the karban, right? You don't need to, you don't have to. Anytime you don't need to, you can't.
As you can say, you learn Shalmei Chova from Shalmei Dava to smicha, that's not mila, but you can't learn Shalmei Chova Shalmei Dava to learn that it's mutter.
The answer we're going to have to go in the direction of defending is we're going to have to say that this is not true, right? We're going to have to deny that. We're going to have to deny Rabbi Akiva Eiger's premise and say no, it's possible that smicha is mutter, but not necessary. Now, how could we do that?
I mean, even necessary, but there's yom tov is docha.
Fine, but that would be saying that during the week, right? I mean, according to them, it's not necessary during the week. I mean, they agree it's not necessary during the week. They just think it's mutter during the week, right? Or it's a good thing during the week. It's not absolutely necessary, hence you give it up on Yantif.
even though it's not necessary, it is sort of a better way of doing the mitzvah.
Right.
Is that the point?
Well, so that's probably the direction we're going to have to go in, right? The answer is probably going to have to be that even though smicha is not necessary, it does add something to the korban, and therefore, on yontiv, it's aser because mishtamish b'balchai. But during the week, it's not called avoda b'kadshah because it does add to it. But, as we'll see, that may relate to what we've been talking about until now, right? Which is, what do we think smicha is?
Right.
Because, again, if you think smicha is part of the Maaseh HaKrava, it's very hard to think of a lechatchilan b'dieved. But if you think it's about connecting the bailim, so then you could say, well, you don't need to, but you can't tell me that if you do it, it doesn't add to the carbon, mm-hmm. right? You can talk about, or vice versa, as we'll see. So that's what we're going to have to do now. But in order to understand that, we have to look at another Gemara, the parallel Gemara in Chagiga. So Gemara in Chagiga says as follows. Daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'somach. Okay, b'nei Yisrael, somchan v'in minos Yisrael, somchos. Right? So back to the women question, right? Men need to do smicha and women do not. So Rabbi Yossi, v'Rabbi Shimon Omrim. B'nos Yisrael, somchos rishos. Women are allowed to do smicha, they just don't have to. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Sachli Abba Elazar, Pamachas, Haylanu Ekel Shizv Cheshlamim, Elazar's Nashim. My father said that once we had a karban, a Ziv Cheshlamim, we brought it into the women's section, Visamcholam Nashim, and the woman, in fact, did smicha. Lomib Nesha Smicha Ben Nashim, not because they have to, Ela Kide Lasos Nachazar Ochle Nashim, to make them happy.
That's how it started, was to humor the women.
Yes, this is the beginning of it. No, it's not a joke. This is one of the most discussed Gemaras in modern Psak issues, which is, what is the halakhic import of those words? I gave a shir on this at some point and got into a big fight with somebody because he did not like my presentation of the shir. That's fine. He doesn't have to.
You didn't give this a joke.
What?
You didn't give the shir in Jofa.
I did not. I gave it in Gush. he criticized my opening 3 minutes. Of course, I then ended up agreeing with a lot of what he said, but he never bothered listening to the whole shir. But
what, he walked out the middle or something?
What? No, he was listening online, but he just wasn't really looking to listen to the whole thing. He was looking to jump on my rhetoric. Okay, fine. But you can find this shir online. I was very proud of this shir.
What shir is it?
Was it called?
Yeah. No, I think it's called like Nachat Ruach L'Nashim or something that, or the role of Nachat Ruach. It was one of my Psak shirim.
It's in the Shirei Shema on the Gush website.
What? It's on Vayitera. Oh, like, okay. It's on Vayitera somewhere. And then I wrote a summary, which is actually like added things afterwards. I'll send it out I'll send it out at some point this week. Though with Rosh Hashanah, I don't know exactly when, but I'll try to send it out. Okay. She says, but now the Gemara asks the question. Whoa, wait a second. If you think that smicha is b'kol kocho, right? Mishum nachat ruach l'nashim avdin avoda b'kachim. What? To make the women happy, to humor them. You're going to let them do avoda b'kachim. Right? They don't need to do smicha. And you're telling them, if you think that smicha is simply you tap the top. So fine. So they tap the top and they're happy. Whoop-de-doo.
You mean they only do the smicha? They wouldn't continue with the shechita.
Correct. Right? Meaning this is clearly, right, they're having multiple women do, like, do smicha on this carbon, apparently.
Okay.
So he says, but what is smicha? If smicha means, as we paskin, that it's b'kol kocho, then I don't get it. How can you let women who aren't chayavot lean on the carbon that's using carbonos? Elav shma mino lav binan globinan kol kocho. So doesn't this prove that you can't do it full strength? Samara says, no. You're right. Smicha, real smicha, is full strength. But when we told women to do it, we told them, do a fake smicha. So, I mean, what I had said at the beginning of that shir was that at first glance, at least, the principle called Lasos Nachal Drach L'Nashim sounds patronizing. Or I think I said the most patronizing thing I've ever heard. I think that was how my rhetoric that I started. He didn't like that. Even though I, you know, walked that back. But I said, at first glance, you can't deny that. Right? Whether that is maintained, whether that's in fact true in the correct way of Gemara, is a different story.
It's like bringing a Sefer Torah to a woman.
That's another. I mean, these, literally, Kedei Lasos Nachal Ruach L'Nashim is brought up in the context of partnership in Adam. It's brought in terms of bringing the Sefer Torah to him and letting him down. Well, all
it,
those.
It hinges on the larger picture, because you don't have to say it's just to make them happy. It's because it's important to them. You know, frame it a different way. But then, if you're going to go on and say, well, what they actually did was they invented a meaningless ceremony, well, that's already condescending.
No, that's what I said. That was my point. Yeah. Right? My point was that kidei, right? If you think kidei lazo nachas ruach l'nasha means you let them do an actual halachic act that they're not chayav in, that's one thing, right? Which is the first possibility. Mm-hmm. The second possibility, that we let them do something which is halachically meaningless to make them feel good, right? That's where I said that sounds, at first glance, extremely patronizing. Whether that's what's going on.
And, I mean, you know, and there's precedent also with Achronim, because the Achronim that say to discourage women from saying Kaddish, for example, that's their reason.
Correct.
Because it's a meaningless act.
Correct. Now, one of the things I argued is that, you know, the simple read of the sugya is, in fact, Chazal were totally okay with that, right? Because you'll hear a lot of people saying we shouldn't encourage people to do things which are halakhically meaningless. But the simplest read of this Gemara is that, in fact, that's not true. Right? We can let people do things which are meaningless. Like I said, I will send out the shir, because I spent an hour on this, because more than an hour, just on this, because how you actually deal with this, and whether what I just said is true, or whether it bears itself out in postgame, is very, very complicated. Okay. But anyways, at any rate, I'm going to bracket that. So Gemara says, "Ihachi lo mipnei shesmicha benasher and take a leg later and lesmicha glal." Right? If that's the issue, then what? Why are you telling me that all of this happened because there's no smicha benasher? Just say because there was no smicha, right? This was akvi adaych. It was fake smicha. So Amar Rabbi Ami, chadav come. You're right. Chadav the lesser smicha glal. Ok, they lasses nachas ruach lenasher. Fine. But what do you learn from this Gemara? Yeah.
Okay.
What do you learn from this Gemara? So you have two possibilities in the Gemara. The first possibility in the Gemara is that people who are not chayavos, right, are allowed to do smicha.
Right.
The second possibility in the Gemara is, no, they can't. But you look at the Gemara and suddenly you realize that at first glance, right, and maybe even at second glance, this Gemara lines up the machlokas, Rashi, and Rabbi Kedeger, right? Rashi, Rabbi Kedeger can't understand. How could it be that smicha could be not obligatory and yet mutter? And Rashi seems to have no problem with that. It's not obligatory and yet it's mutter as long as it's not yantif. Right? But the Gemara in Chagiga itself seems to be arguing along that axis. The position who says that they did real smicha tells you that there's such a thing as non-obligatory smicha that's still mutter. And the second position who says, no, because women aren't obligated, it must be they didn't really do smicha, agrees with Rabbi Kedeger's intuition, which is, you can't say that smicha is not obligatory, and in the same breath, then say someone's going to do it. Right? So at first glance, the axis of the Gemara and Chagiga seems to be the axis along which Rashi, Tosfos, Rashi on one side, and Tosfos Rabbi Kedeger on the other side, argue, is there such a thing as voluntary smicha, right? Or is it either is it all or nothing like Rabbi Kedeger, or is it not all or nothing like Rashi?
Okay, so now going back to your three explanations of what smicha is. Okay, if smicha is a way to bond a korban, then how can a woman not be allowed to do smicha?
And that is, I think, what, and we'll see that some of the achronim are really going to get at, right? Is that it could be that machlokas itself is along these lines. Because if you think it's part of the hakravas hakarban, right? So then you could say, look, if it's part of that hakravas hakarban, then either it's part of that hakravas hakarban or it's not. If you say, no, it's a legitimate way to connect the owners to the karban, so then one could say, well, once the Torah has legitimated it in certain karbanos, haraya, it's not considered avoda bikadshim. And therefore, you could understand that there could be a middle model where you don't have to, but if you do it, it adds meaning, and therefore it's l'tzorech hakarban, right? So, yes, you could go along this axis. Now, we'll see, you could also flip it, right? Because you could also say that, no, women don't need to, but the fact, right, as remember we said before, it's not necessarily this way, right? You could say that it's part of the karban, but a non-essential one. It's what the Gemara called, if you remember, and this is where that line's going to come back to be important, the Gemara called it Shiare Mitzvah. Now, what's Shiare Mitzvah? Shiare Mitzvah is something which is part of the mitzvah, but not necessary. Mm-hmm. But it's part of the process. So you could flip it, and you could say, no, if it was only about the Bailim, if it's only about connecting the owner, then if you are the type of owner that needs Micha, then you're allowed to do it, but no one else is. But if you think, no, it's part of Hakravas HaKarban, it's just not essential, then anybody could do it, because it's part of Hakravas HaKarban. And whether or not you're the type of owner who needs to do smicha, in the end of the day, it's going to integrate, because that's its definition. It's Shiare Mitzvah. It's a non-essential act, which when done, integrates into Masa HaKrava. So the Acharonim could go, right, you could take this in either direction. Right, you could say, like Sam is saying, is that once we know, it adds a dimension. So then, even though it's non-essential, it's mutter. Or you could say, no, since it was to begin with structured as a part of the Masa HaKrava, which is non-essential, then maybe even people who don't have to do it could do it.
Right.
Right?
But if that's the case, then why weren't the women permitted to do the full smicha?
Well, the first position says they can. The second position says they can.
Oh, the first position.
Right, that's exactly the point, is that you have two positions in the Gemara that seem to be working along that same axis.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay.
And you can turn them around.
And you could, right, this is like a favorite of Rosenzweig, right, of backflipping nafkaminas, right, of pretending that it's a neat nafkamina and then admitting that it really isn't, right, that chakiras aren't really always so smooth that you always come out with a nafkamina. So the best you can do is illustrate the, right, the conceptual things behind it and show how it could play out, even though, right, it may not be as,
what? If you're brave enough, you can...
Right, it's one of those things. If you're smart, you know, if you're sharp enough, which... Inevitably, in any shir, whenever I'm learning anything, Rav Rosenzweig is smart enough to always come up with a way that it works, right? Not everyone is that smart, but, you know, he is. So, you know, that's the... When you are that smart, then you can flip nafkaminas all the time. One direction may be more compelling than the other, but, okay. Okay, so I think we'll start the Achronim this week. We're not going to finish it. I need to get to Mariv. But next week, what I have is a much shorter unit anyways. Wait, next week? We're on next week, right? We're on next week?
We're on next week.
Right, next week is...
Right, Ottawa.
No. That might be after Sukkot. I'm not... Okay. That's the Thursday after Sukkot. I might go away. okay. So the Pnei Yoshua, right, it's as follows. He says, okay. So he says, okay, he's working with Rabbi Akiva Eger's question. I just cut out that part of it, right? So he said, okay, I have a possibility for you. Why don't you say as follows? Biblically, you need no smicha. Rabbinically, you need smicha. But on Yontif, because of the problems of Yontif and Mishtamash Balchai, we waived it. And during the week, so rabbinically, you need smicha. Right, that would be a compromise position, right? To say that the reason our Mishnah discusses Yontif is not because of biblical reasons, but rabbinic reasons. So he says, why don't you just solve that? Why don't you just say that, right? Biblically, you don't need smicha at all. Rabbinically, you always need smicha. But on Yontif, when there's a counter factor, so then we waive smicha, the rabbinic smicha, and that's it.
What would be the reason for smicha according to Rabbanim?
As he said, he's going to reject this now, right? He's going to say that to make any sense, right? He says, if you're going to say that, he said, that's ridiculous. Is Mashen can be Yom Tov, Diga Shvus, Lishtamesh, Mavali Chaim, Mishamachalos, Smicha, Rabbanim, Dachi Shvus, Rabbanim. And then you would say, okay, so on Yontif, you wouldn't do it because there's Mishamesh, Mavali Chai. Halesa, that's impossible. Dalamandi, Amar Smicha, Rabbanim. I don't get it. Right? He paskins like the second position in the Gemara, right? Which how we paskin, right? And he says, you see that lemaskana, we say that if something is not essential, smicha is not essential, you can't do it. So where the Rabbanan get off saying you need smicha the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan can't tell you to do avoda bekachim. Right, if either it's Doraisa or it's Usser, right? That's the maskana of the Gemara and Chagiga, right? And as he notes, right, the two positions in the Gemara and Chagiga seem to run along the axis of Rashi and Rabbi Akiva Eger, but the maskana is like Rabbi Akiva Eger, that there's no such thing as a full smicha, which is not obligatory. V'imkein lafized b'smicha d'rabbanon ain't osamech lo kocho. And then maybe you could, right, your only option according to the maskana would be to say that there's a obligation to do smicha d'rabbanon, but that one is v'akfliyadayim levad, with just tapping it, right, putting your hands on it, but not with all your strength. But if that's the case, then it doesn't have the problem of the bekachim, but it also doesn't have the problem of mishtamish b'bal chai. So we just reject this whole possibility. Typically, I don't get it. Right? He said, the Gemara in Chagiga seems to run along the axis of Rashi and Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Except, who's the maskana like? Like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that the havamina of the Gemara was that you could have optional smicha that's full smicha. But the maskana of the Gemara is there's no such thing. Either there's obligatory smicha or it's usur. Those are the only two possibilities. So he said, in the end of the day, he can't defend Rashi, because the fact that the Gemara in Chagiga seems to run along the axis of Rashi and Rabbi Akiva Eiger only makes it worse when the Gemara's maskana is like Rabbi Akiva Eiger and not like Rashi. When the Gemara's maskana is that either you have full smicha, obligatory smicha, or you have nothing.
Well, Gerard asked why would we have created a smicha drabanan. So let's presume that there was a reason, you know, whatever it was, whatever mysterious reason. Once Rabbanan had a reason to do it, they created smicha, so it's no longer avoda.
That's the Stipler's answer. If you look at 19, the Stipler said exactly what David said. The Stipler said, no, Pnei Yeshua is wrong. He said, the Pnei Yeshua is functioning operating under the assumption that the Gemara in Chagiga about women is exactly identical to the question of men on Smicha de Rabbanan. He said, that's not true. Because as David correctly points out, if the Rabbanan created Smicha, for whatever reason they created Smicha, then is that Tzarech HaKarban or Tzarech HaAdam? It's Tzarech HaKarban. Right? Because they're telling you, they think it's important for the Karban for you to do Smicha. Okay. But what is Avodah B'Kadshim? Avodah B'Kadshim means you're using the Karban. Are you using the Karban if the Rabbanan told you that you're doing something for the Karban? No. But he said, that's only true for men. Right? Because for men who are Chayav in, or potentially, that's what he says, right? Potentially, right? Because he said the fact that the Gemara says there's no chova, no obligation for women, even on derabanan level, means that when men do it, even if it's rabbinic, they're not doing it of their own volition. They're doing it because the rabbis told them to. And therefore, biblical or rabbinic, in the end of the day, when the man does smicha, he's doing it in a sense of obligation towards the karban. And therefore, it's not called avodah b'kadshim. But once Chazal, for whatever reason, said not only on a biblical level do women not have to do smicha, but we don't force, but even on a rabbinic level, they don't have to do smicha. That means if they choose to do smicha, it's of their own volition. Right. If it's on their own volition, it's tzarech ha'adam and not tzarech ha'karban, and it's avodah b'kadshim.
Right?
So the Stipler strikes back at the Pnei Yeshua. He says, no, they're not exactly identical. Because you could just say, no, in a chanami. Biblically, Shalmei Chova do not need smicha. Rabbinically, they do. On Yontif, you'll waive the rabbinic obligation because of the parallel rabbinic problem of Mishtamish Bebal Chayev, using animals. During the week, there's no counter reason, and therefore, there's no counter pressure, and therefore you let them do it. But that presumes obligation. The reason the Gemara in Chagiga said that there's no option of having someone with no obligation doing full smicha is because if you do it with no obligation, not even rabbinic, then you're doing it of your own free will. If you're doing it of your own free will, you're doing it for you and not for the karban. If you're doing it for you and not for the karban, then it's always going to be usur because it's avodah b'kadshim. And therefore, you can break the parallel between Chagiga and Beitzah by presuming a rabbinic obligation. Why the rabbis would have set up an obligation in the first place, again, they want connection to the Bailim, they modeled it on other karbanos, whatever you want to say. But the stapler ends up saying it's not really true, right? They're not actually functioning in exact parallel. One could distinguish between them, and that is his and that is his maskana.
You can say some possible say that some is a chiyuv d'oraita, and the Rabbanan came and Yom Tov and answered it.
You could.
You do it with shofar.
Correct. You could, but then the answer might be you can't bring a karban. Right, meaning you could, right? You could say the Rabbanan forbade you to do something which is d'oraisa obligatory. Then the question is, okay, but then why did they allow you to bring the karban? Why didn't they just say, like with shofar, right? Shofar, so just don't bring karbanos, right? Parallel to, not blowing the shofar. It would be weird to say,
will they have models of bringing karbanos where you don't need smicha?
Maybe, right? I mean, we could come up with something, right? That there's ever been a complication, and then we, right, or whatever. We could come up with it. Correct, but... Right. People don't really go in that direction, but you could, right? You could say, this is one of those cases of, sort of like Takana, right? Like the Takana of Rabbah. Okay. I think we're going to have to pause there. We'll summarize. I'll summarize just quickly, right? We saw there's three possibilities. Either it's about the owners connecting to the carbon, it's a part of the process of the carbon, or it's Sof HaKadasha. This explains pretty neatly the Machlokes, Teke L'Smicha Shechita, right? If you think that everyone agrees you need smicha, the only question is, does it need to be immediate? So if it's about the owner, so you understand, maybe you could split them, but if it's about, or if it's about hakdasha, so hakdasha is always early, but if it's actually a process of the karban, so then if you need it, it must be immediate. The second position, though, in the Gemara, that the machlok is whether you need smicha at all. So according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Tosfos, all that means is, that means what it says, right? That you never need smicha, which works conceptually, but textually is a bit difficult. The way they defend that is by saying that the point of our mission is just to tell you the Beis Hillel even needs smicha on Yontif. Rashi, who thinks that you need smicha just not on Yontif, is problematic conceptually because, as we note, in the Gemara of Chagiga, the Gemara in Chagiga seems to have the two possibilities of whether there's such a thing as a non-essential smicha, which is mutter. The first position lines up with Rashi and says, yes, there is such a thing, but according to the second position, which is how we paskin, there is no such a thing, which is the Pnei Yeshua's challenge, which is the end of the day, if you parallel Beitza and Chagiga, Rashi ends up on the wrong side of the Gemara, and therefore Rashi is wrong. The Stipler's defense is no, is perhaps there's a rabbinic obligation, but once there's a rabbinic obligation for men, so then if there's no if there's no counter pressure, i.e. yontif, so then men will be allowed to do it. It won't be avodah bikachim because they're not doing it for themselves; they're doing it to fulfill an obligation. But since Chazal didn't, for whatever reason, institute a parallel obligation for women, if they choose to do it, it's of their own volition. When you do it of your own volition, then you can't do real smicha because it's avodah bikachim, and thereby breaking the parallel between chagiga and beitz. And that's the Kilas Yaakov's defense of Rashi. We'll have a few more achronim next time, and then we will, I think. Basically, we have these stories here, right, of the students of Hillel and Shammai, or actually Hillel and Shammai themselves, bringing Karbanos and Yom Tov, and Hillel lying to defend himself. So what we're going to do is just read those, and then deal with the question of whether, in fact, it's mutter to lie, right, when you are distorting your own halachic opinion. I put together some sources on it. It's a pretty quick thing, but yeah.
So just a few different